Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. You are not 9 to 5 and neither are we. Conveniently open online 365 days per year, 24 hours per day.
And you're all very welcome back now. Actor David Rawle joins us this morning. You will know David Rawle because he was in the hilarious Moon Boy as Martin Moon. He was the kid and he's before me. He doesn't look like the kid anymore. You are now, what age are you? And it was a birthday.
24.
24 yeah. years of age.
As of yesterday.
That puts you into the One Direction thing which we're talking about this yeah. morning in sad circumstances, sadly, but you would have been right bang smack in the heyday.
Yeah, growing up in the middle of the kind of One Direction mania. I mean, it's kind of hard to believe, to be honest.
No, I know you're Leitrim lads, so there's a toughness there. But One Direction was the first boy band that was accepted for lads to also enjoy because they were so bold.
definitely. And they had some really, really beautiful songs. And you know what? They were very popular. Maybe you weren't very vocal about being a supporter at the time. Okay. Maybe you rolled your eyes publicly, but privately, you definitely were listening to all the new music.
Do you have sisters in your family?
I do, two older sisters.
But they were definitely fans.
Oh, yeah.
And you pretended you didn't like them to them. No, we're delighted to have you in, David Rawle. 24 years of age now. You're going to be in The Borrowers, which is the winter play this year at the Gay Theatre from the 16th of November. Oh, that's very soon. It's only a month away until the 12th of January. Are you in the rehearsals right now?
We are. We're into week three and it's getting serious. We're trying to get the lines learned off, but it's coming together nicely. It's a beautiful team that they've brought in together and there's a lot of new music that's been written for it by the incredibly talented Fionn Foley, who I genuinely think is a genius. The work that he's done in this, I mean, I kind of thought that the play would live or die by the music, and hearing it all on the first day, all these incredible people who've worked on the West End, really, really talented singers bringing the music to life. And I was like, this has exceeded every expectation that I could have for it. So I'm really, really excited for people to hear it.
Well, compared to you, I'm an owl flower, right? The Borrowers, the TV, that's like, it feels like it's from my era. And then it was a book for a generation before that. It's kind of followed along.
Yeah.
To remind people what the story is.
So the story, it was written first in the 1950s by Mary Norton. It's a wonderful series of children's books and they're kind of classics. But basically it's about this family of tiny people who live in the walls of this huge house. And they borrow from the human beings who live there. And basically they can't be seen because they're so small. And then what happens to this one family when they're discovered by the human boy who lives there, who I play in this show. And it's a beautiful kind of like for the whole family, to be honest. Like, it's not necessarily a kid's show or for adults. It's kind of for everyone. And it's like a lovely show for Christmas. There's a lot of feel good moments in it. It's, you know, sometimes there's some scarier moments, but it's overall it's really joyous.
Did you read the original material?
I did. I only finished the other day. It's absolutely beautiful. Children's books in those days, they were able to put in so much like descriptive language, and like I grew up reading like Captain Underpants and loving it. But I was like, God, in those days children were well educated.
They were literary.
They were literary.
And so cruel things would happen in stories as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. And there's obviously some baddies in this one as well. But
it felt to me in the day that it was a very English sort of a tale.
Yeah.
And I know The Gate last year had Peter Pan, Roddy Doyle, and he Irished it up. He moved all the action.
Yes.
Back to Dublin. Is it kind of an Irished up version?
We have Irished it up because it's quite universal. Like even their 2010, I think, Studio Ghibli did a version of it called Arrietty, and they had Saoirse Ronan and Tom Holland playing the boy and Arrietty, and so it is kind of it's kind of been adopted by different cultures, and because it is just such a universal story. But yeah, it originated in England and it's kind of been taken over by the rest of the world.
How does it work on stage when you can't shrink members of the cast?
Well, Oliver, you'll have to come and see the show.
Oh, it's a secret of
them. There will be some technical magic.
Oh, really?
Yes. They will be doing some wonderful projections and things like that. Uh-huh. But, I mean, it's the power of imagination, you know.
But you're the kind of the big, the giant in this compared to
previous
work.
Two children. I play the boy who finds them, and I also play a wild borrower who they encounter.
Oh, there's
the
some trickery going on.
Come
here. You've been busy over the years, haven't you? Immediately after Moon Boy, because you're a kid fame, do you go back to school? Do you continue acting or what?
Yeah, I kind of made the conscious choice that I was kind of like, I wasn't really interested in giving up school and going off and doing acting full time, because I was kind of like, ah, like I'll just stay in school and I'll get the education.
This is
and
definitely
I'll,
Leitrim Cam.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll, you know,
what
not,
about the panic of stardom? You have to be go into the next thing, thrive on.
No, I was like, go get an education, become a normal person, develop, grow, don't be an idiot. And then I always knew that I wanted to go to college. And for years, I wasn't really sure. Do I want to go into acting? Do I want to go maybe something behind the camera? And then I did a play when I was 16, 17, and I was just like, nah, this is what I want to do. And then,
what age were you when you left the Moon Boy? What was the last
day? I was about 13, 12, 13.
Okay, so you had a couple of years, and then you did a play at 16. What was the play?
I did a play called Or You Or, Rossum's Universal Robots, which we did in the Peacock as part of the National Youth Theatre. 16 young people from across Ireland, from different youth theatres. We ended up living together for 5 weeks in Dublin, putting on a play. And it was the first time that I kind of was part of that world in real way, and it was just an amazing experience. It made me go, I want to do this, I want to get better at it, and I want to learn more.
You got the grow for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you would have had the grow as a kid, or can you have it when you're that young?
It doesn't feel like work when you're a kid. Like, it's anything's better than school, and this was the, like, it was kind of like a playground every day, and they'd give you a few lines and you'd say those, you make people laugh, and it was such funny material. It didn't feel like a job. And then you get older, you kind of think, yeah, but what do I actually enjoy? And it was kind of only kind of going, I feel so lucky that I found the thing that I love doing almost by accident.
Yeah.
And now I get to do that.
That's how it happens.
Yeah.
You dabble in something.
Yeah,
it becomes
exactly.
your life.
Yeah.
So you were what, 11 years of age when
11,
you were cast?
Yeah.
Was there a big, long, difficult process? Because it was a famous star from the west of Ireland coming over to make a show about his own childhood.
Yeah,
in Roscommon.
I mean, I was from that area, from Leitrim, from Carrigaline, and they were looking for, the description was, an idiot boy from the west of Ireland, and they were like, well, I know one. And yeah, basically just did an audition. I was like, I'll audition for the smaller part because obviously I'm not going to get the lead.
You didn't even go for that?
No, I was like, why would I bother? And then next thing you know, would you come back for the second round and go for the lead? I was like, that must have been the wrong number, but anyway, I'll go in. And did that, went grand. Third round, it's down to you and two other guys. I'm like, well, okay, good luck to one
I'm
of them.
About to lose now.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, well, now I'm invested.
Leitrim in the Connacht Championship.
But thankfully, a little bit more successful than that. And it ended up working out. They offered me the part, and I had the most beautiful, happy, enjoyable experience. Wow. And I look back on it. And
when did you first meet Chris O'Dowd?
At the third round audition.
Oh, really?
But I was kind of a little bit too young to... I hadn't watched Bridesmaids at that stage. So I hadn't watched the IT Crowd. You know, I was still getting through Captain Underpants. So I wasn't... I became a fan of his work. Yeah. But at that time, I think it was lovely kind of starting off on an even keel of kind of going, neither of us know who the other one is.
He's a big supporter of yours, isn't he?
Ah, yes.
And likewise,
fair.
Of course. You've since watched Bridesmaids.
I have since watched Bridesmaids.
Enjoy all the unquotable, unbroadcast.
But what was really, really lovely was that I got to work with him again recently, only in the last year. His new TV show, Small Town Big Story, which should be out in February on Sky. And he's written it, and he's directed some of it, and he...
I read about it, some of this a few months ago, which I think is it's a big Hollywood production coming into Ireland. Is that
that's
story?
It. Okay. It's a bit meta. But yeah, so this huge Hollywood production, kind of like a Game of Thrones type things, comes to this tiny little village on the border. And brings up all of these secrets that have been tried to be hidden in the town. And I play the doctor's son, played by Paddy Considine, who is an absolute legend.
Oh, go away.
It was just an incredible cast of people and a really, really wonderful thing to be a part of. And yeah, kind of like a comedy drama. I'm excited for people to see it.
It kind of highlights how you managed to bridge that impossible gap of being the child star and then coming back as an adult.
I don't worry too much about that.
But it is a thing, doesn't it? It doesn't,
doesn't
work for very many.
Absolutely. I think, definitely. I knew that I was more interested in being an actor than in being a star or in being, you know...
Very sensible.
I'm so much more interested in the work and what I'm doing next and the characters and who I get to work with rather than worrying about all the nonsense that kind of surrounds it.
To pick up the story then where you were talking about, you left at 13, 16 you do the play, so now you decided what you want to do in college.
Yeah, exactly. And at that time when I was doing the play, a lot of people people were talking about drama school, which had seemed like a very alien notion, because for film actors, you know, and people say when you go to drama school, you can't work for 3 years. And I said, how could I do that, darling? And then when I actually was kind of getting to that age, I was 18, and I suddenly realised that that's actually kind of the best way of doing it. And actually just being within that bubble of kind of being able to fail safely every day, and for it not to be, you know, on camera forever.
The lovies.
Yeah, exactly.
But you put
exactly
it in a much nicer
the lovies,
way.
The lovies, exactly. The delicate actor people. And I think that was exactly what I needed.
What a literal man thrown in among them.
Exactly,
so
exactly.
Shook up the sheet. When you are a kid in school and you're in this massive show that everyone in the country and in Britain has seen and beyond, what's it like then going back to school after that?
Like, grand. I mean, it was kind of, I didn't really let on hugely. If people asked, I was like, oh yeah, I did a bit of filming, and they went, right, sure. Because it kind of sounds too good to be true. I mean, it sounds unrealistic. So most people just probably assumed that I was sick or something.
David in first year, he was a wee kid. Haven't seen him in a while.
Haven't seen him in an awful long time. But yeah, I mean, and then you just kind of get on with it. And then when it was coming out, people were like, did you do that thing? And you go, yeah. And they go, all right, Grant, must give it a watch. And then you just kind of get on with
She's
it.
Very together around Leitrim. I must look up, is there a Valium factory over there? Some fumes seem to come drift across.
We're just level-headed people, okay?
Walking around with zero notions. You'll have to develop the notion somehow along the way. That was a lovely experience, that you didn't have anyone sort of thinking you had notions and you didn't think you had notions.
I mean, there was like, you know, maybe, you know, 15, 20 people in my entire class in national school, and then, you know, going into secondary school, and there was maybe 200 people there in all. You know, very, very small. You already knew everybody.
Which was the best place in the country, isn't it?
Well, you heard it here first, folks.
Well, we don't tell them.
Yeah, the secret's out.
They will absolutely destroy
it's
the
be
place.
Mobbed.
But you weren't into sport or anything like that.
No.
And there's a great Amdram scene anyway.
There is,
there,
and I'm very lucky in Carrigallen. There's a lovely little theatre, the Cornmill, and it's got a huge tradition of Amdram. They've won the All-Ireland 3 times, and so I'd always been growing up watching some great shows, and definitely it's massively a part of the community.
Another bonus for you is you get to walk around and no one says, there's the Moon Boy. Because happily, you know, you've changed quite a bit.
Yes, yes, thankfully.
I tried to say it politely. You're unrecognisable.
I know, it's kind of great. Yeah. It's kind of great. You know, it never got too overwhelming. And again, it's a lovely thing when people are coming over to you for something that's positive and wanting to tell you how much they enjoyed the experience of watching something that you were a small part of. And that is a really, really beautiful thing. And, you know, and now the lovely thing is that people have maybe a special memory of it, and that when they want to talk about it, that they remember watching it with their granny, or they remember watching it with, and that can be a really, really nice thing. But
you don't want to do things, then it will give you the whole selfie world, basically. It could happen after next year when this was a small town big story.
Yes.
So the Lear is where you go to the Lear Academy. Yeah. We've been speaking to Ellie Lilly Highland only
recently. Yes,
she was ahead of you, I think,
two years ahead of me. Fantastic actress. There was absolute superstars.
She's very calm as well.
Oh my god, totally.
The Lear.
She's from Carlo. Ah, she's absolutely brilliant.
Yeah. She's a good part of the world. And how did you get on there then?
Grand. I mean, I loved it. I was part of a great year. But, you know, they're incredible tutors. It's a really, really fantastic place. We're lucky to have like training of that calibre in Ireland. And it's only recently enough, I think it opened in 2011 or something like that.
Yeah.
And it's already done incredible work. And I had a really, really positive experience there.
You did really heavy stuff coming out of, or were you in the Lear when you played the part of Brendan O'Donnell in that film?
That was, I think I was 15 when I played.
Oh, sorry, okay.
That was a dark one.
See, the years doesn't seem very long ago.
I know.
But you have done these heavier roles along the way. Is that important to keep the variety of?
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, you know, comedy is one of the hardest things you can do. But I mean, you know, you can't really do it unless you can do tragedy as well. And, you know, I think being able to do both.
I missed that note. Well, it's supposed to be an RT, just kind of part tragedies. Okay, so The Borrower is going to be the thing. Are there other things beyond that? This is always difficult to ask an actor.
There are other things beyond that, which people will see in the future.
Oh, you're, yes. I have a note that I'm not allowed to say. Why would I even? I don't know the thing.
there will be more things anon.
But we look forward to seeing the next Chris O'Dowd thing. Yes. That's, I love the fact that you're working again together.
I know. It was really, really special because, I mean, it had been 10 years since we'd worked together properly. Yeah. And obviously we kept in touch a bit. But to be working together with somebody that you really love and admire and just have had so many positive experiences with after
I really hope he makes it someday.
I know. I know. I'm praying for him.
Comes back here and starts hanging out with Jessica Chastain. And all this, you know. The Borrower, starring David Rawle, opens at the Gay Theatre on the 16th of November, runs until the 12th of January. gay-theatre.ie for all the information. But you won't be able to miss, I think, they do excellent marketing for that.
They do.
Feel good play. David Rawle, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Up Leitrim and all that goes with it, and enjoy all that you do. We'll talk to you for the next big thing that you're not allowed to mention now. Okay. Back after the break.